Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is there a difference between fundraising and biblical stewardship? I'm going to talk about that in a sermon this morning. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, give us the grace to understand that everything we have, both the body, soul, and mind, is a gift that has come from you. And help us understand, O God, that you have asked that we give a portion back to you. We realize, as we examine our own souls, that that does not come easily, for we like to keep that which is ours, we believe. But God, we pray that you may work in our hearts and make us generous in our giving, as we bring back our gifts for the furtherance of your gospel and for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Hear us today as we study your holy word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 8th chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we had expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. For me, some of St. Paul's richest writings are found in his second letter to the Corinthian church. In this portion of God's Word, we read passages like this. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. In writing to the people of Corinth, Paul points out to these people who lived in the Corinthian city that those who lived over in Philippi and Thessalonica had become some of those new people in Jesus Christ. And so he began to challenge them to imitate these brothers and sisters in practicing good stewardship of their material possessions. Paul was making a plea to aid the Christians who were living in Jerusalem and who lived in the depths of poverty. When these Macedonian churches, those in Philippi and in Thessalonica, heard about the suffering that was going on in Jerusalem, they wrote to Paul, "We want to give." And so Paul reports they gave as much as they were able and even went beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Now, you could ask yourself the question, why would anyone who was so poor that he could hardly care for his own needs give liberally to others? That is not the natural way of doing it. But these people were different. They had become some of those new people in Jesus Christ. I imagine that in today's society, we would call them fanatics. We'd rather follow the practical advice to take care of our own first, and then if there is something left over, share it with others who are less fortunate. Sometimes this caring for our own first does not just stop with the necessities of life, but rather it includes a lot of luxurious living. So after we have had all the necessities, and after we have really traveled as widely as we cared and done a few other things, then if there's something left over, let's give it to those who are in need. It gives us a good feeling. That is a very, very common gesture on the part of many people. Even congregations can be guilty of this practice. We spare nothing sometimes in our buildings and the very best equipment for our churches that we can get, and then we're content with a smaller mission budget to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world and to bring aid to those who are in physical need. One has to congratulate those churches who spend $1 on missions to others, both at home and abroad, for every dollar that they spend on themselves. Kenneth Chafin, who is professor at the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, writes, "One day while I was at a convention, I got into a discussion with several pastors, and one of them dominated the conversation with his concern that a number of his very best members were giving very generously to world hunger. As far as he was concerned, that was all right, but what really upset him was that in an effort to completely refurbish and decorate the church parlor, the project had not gotten off the ground." While I didn't comment on his dilemma, Dr. Chafin says, "in my mind I could see how much more attractive I would find it to furnish grain for planting or eating for people who were starving than it would be to buy a new carpet for the church parlor." When we give to others whose needs are real, we feel fulfilled because we are reflecting God's priorities. Through the inspired pen of St. Paul, our Lord Jesus Christ gives his church some great help in practicing good stewardship. And because this is the time of the year when many churches are putting an emphasis upon stewardship and asking the people what they plan to bring to Christ through their church on a particular Sunday, I thought it would be wise for us to kind of join in with that group too. And maybe we could share some things from God's holy word. So let me emphasize just a few points of what the Bible has to say about stewardship, and you'll soon realize that there is a fantastic difference between stewardship and just fundraising. So here's one point. The person to whom you appeal for gifts of time and talent and money, as far as biblical stewardship is concerned, are Christians. These are the ones who have become new people in Jesus Christ. They don't think like those who are outside of Jesus Christ. Their whole life has been turned around. They're new creatures in the Savior. God certainly would not ask those who have never tasted of his grace to give of their possessions, even though all that they have has come from him. Why would he ask an unbeliever to finance the kingdom? Why would he even ask that man or that woman who goes to church rather religiously, but doesn't have any personal relationship with God, to really come and give sacrificially? Sometimes we assume that all people who have become members of a congregation are Christians living in a personal relationship with God and sensitive to his will. But such is not the case. At least it is not in the denomination where I have lived and served all my life. Because we receive people in as we do, it is obvious that there are many who had joined the church for various reasons, some of them very good. They are seekers. They want to know more about Christ, but they have not yet arrived. They are respecters of the church because they see that the church does a lot of good, and they kind of want to get in there and be a part of that crowd. And so they're willing to give a gift once in a while. But then there are those who have joined for all kinds of reasons. Do we come to them, these last people, and ask them if they would not like to be a part of the stewardship program of giving out of love to the Lord Jesus Christ in the area of faith, when probably they have no faith? Therefore, I used to say to the congregation when I served as their pastor, if you are not yet committed to Jesus Christ, feel no obligation to give anything. God does not expect those who have not yet received him to finance the kingdom. Now, these people are not a part of the missionary force of the church. Rather, they are a part of the mission of the church. Sometimes we'll hear a person say, you know, I get sick and tired of the church, for the congregation where I belong is always asking for money. You know, when I hear that, I wonder, could that statement possibly come from a person whose life has been committed to Christ, who is now a brand new person in the Lord Jesus Christ? So I think the first point that St. Paul gives to us here in this portion of God's word that is ours today is simply this. Stewardship belongs to the Christian community, those who have tasted of the grace of God and know Christ. Don't offend those who are coming to your church simply because they are sitting there by asking them to give a goodly amount of money. Number two, Christianity places great emphasis on giving. It starts with God giving his Son, and then Jesus Christ coming into this world and giving his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Those who have received God's gift of salvation in Christ receive the giving spirit, and they are anxious to give themselves to the Lord. Again, quoting Dr. Chafin, he says this matter of stewardship is a heart matter. It is a heart matter. God has captured our hearts. And like those people in the Macedonian churches who were anxious to give, even though they didn't have very much money to give, we too are anxious to give, to make our contribution to bringing this gospel of Jesus Christ into the world of which we are a part. Sometimes it's very sacrificial. On the coast of the state of Maine, there stands a church building which is very precious to me. It is there that I was raised. It is there that I heard the gospel. It is there that I was taught the word of God by faithful Sunday school teachers. When people came to that place from Denmark, they built a church. My grandparents were a part of that group. These people were Christians from an evangelistic movement in Denmark known as the Intermission Movement. Most of them had very little money, but a portion of what they had was given to the Lord for the church had to be built that people could meet and hear God's word. I remember my mother telling of one man in the congregation who, when they went to a meeting, and they were meeting in the home, said, "We've got to give because we've got to have a church built, a meeting house." And all of those people at that meeting that night emptied their purses and their wallets as a down payment to get going on the establishment of the house of God. Now, this story has been repeated thousands of times. It is not only a story of my boyhood. As I drive through the countryside across the United States and see all of these little white churches out in the country, some of them one right on top of another, you realize that here came the pioneers. They were not wealthy people, but they gave sacrificially in order that the Word of God might go forward. You see, Christianity has an emphasis on giving. So we continue to emphasize that today. The symbols of these people's faith and their willingness to give of their possession to Christ for the extension of the kingdom are those churches. Number three, Paul in this portion of Scripture talks about the grace of giving. I haven't really got my eyes onto that in past readings of the Scriptures like I have in the study for this sermon. The Bible uses the word grace in two ways. First, we have what we call saving grace. This is God's willingness to grant us forgiveness, even though we do not deserve it. Second, the word grace is used to give us strength to do something that is not natural. The Bible says that in times of great difficulty, when we would succumb to all that is around us, God comes with his grace and lifts us up, and that grace is sufficient. He will give us strength to get through rough times. It is in this sense that we can talk about the grace of giving. He will give us the grace to become strong stewards of that which he has given to us. Even after Christ becomes personal in our lives, the old natural habits remain and we have to deal with them. Learning to be generous and with material things is a matter of spiritual growth and maturity. It is God's grace that creates within us a generous heart. It is no external pressure that is going to make us give consistently. It is an internal pressure which makes us generous with the material gifts that are ours. Quoting once again Dr. Chafin, he tells the story of a carnival that came to town that has a kind of a humorous twist. The carnival featured the strongest man in the world. To demonstrate the power of his grip, the barker would cut a lemon in half and give it to the strong man. With his left hand, he would squeeze every drop of moisture out of the lemon. The barker would then work with the crowd to sell tickets for the rest of the performance inside the tent. As an additional come-on, he said the carnival would pay anyone from the audience $25 if they'd come inside the tent, $25 for every drop of juice that people would squeeze from the lemon. The small man went into the tent, and finally, when it got to that time in the program, he asked if it would be possible for him to try. Using only his thumb and two fingers of one hand, he squeezed three additional drops of juice from the lemon. When he was paid his $75, he was asked the secret to his ability, and he replied, "Well, I tell you, I've been the treasurer in our church for 25 years. And trying to squeeze money out of reluctant members for the budget, well, that lemon was easy." Chafin goes on to say that that way of raising money only produces guilt, anxiety, and resentment. Joy comes to those who give to the Lord's work gladly. It is when our faith has increased so that we are willing to give sacrificially that we experience joy in his giving, in our giving. And that's what God wants us to do, friend, to experience joy in our giving. I haven't had very many experiences where I have given sacrificially, and I say that confessionally. But I've had a few of them, and the one that came to me early in my lifetime, it was deep in the Depression, and my mother would sit at night crocheting. I noticed that she had taken an old pair of glasses that used to be her mother's and was wearing them. I didn't like to see that. And so we were getting close to Christmas time, and I had a little money set aside, and I decided that I was going to take that money and give it to my mother, and she then was to go and get some new glasses. Christmas Eve came, and I put that money in a box, and it was under the tree, and when Mother opened it and saw that money and read my note, "Mom, now go and buy yourself some new glasses." she wept. I was happy. You know, that's still with me 65 years later. When I experience that joy, I guess it's sort of a puzzle to me that I haven't done more of that giving in my lifetime. Give sacrificially, and there will be joy. Well, some of these are points that Paul is making to Christian churches in the midst of stewardship. Just remember this, will you? That stewardship can be summarized in these words. We give out of love to Christ in relationship to our faith. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of my love. At the
Father in heaven, help us to realize that if we are in Christ Jesus, we have become new people, and so we are to grow in that grace and holiness. May that also affect our giving in these days when in many churches we are making a decision as to what we will return to the Lord in the new year that is soon coming. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service will strengthen you for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is supported by gifts from our listeners. Some of you send a gift each week, and some of you send a gift once a year. All of your gifts enable us to buy radio time on 31 stations across the nation to share the gospel message. We thank each one of you for your generous giving. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Sermons are organized by topic to help you find what you need. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. We are linked to a daily devotional and a Bible reference tool to help you in your devotional life. Our website strives to be a gateway to a stronger faith for all who visit. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.